Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to picture in our minds. It's morning in Galilee. And on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, there sit a number of very tired fishermen. Peter and Andrew and James and John, who are all partners in a fishing business. Now, they had been out fishing all night because, you see, on the Sea of Galilee, that's when you did your fishing. You did your fishing at night, and then you came in and sold your wares in the morning. And then you washed your nets and went home to bed. Well, we have a bunch of guys sitting on the shore, washing their nets, having toiled all night and not caught a single fish. They are tired. They are probably grumpy. And then along comes Jesus Christ, and he is followed by an enthusiastic crowd that want to hear him teach the Word of God. And so enthusiastic is this large crowd gathered from goodness knows where that they're about to push him into the water because they're pressing forward on him and he's getting closer and closer to the water's edge. So he asks Simon Peter, this tired, unsuccessful fisherman, "Hey Peter, can I use your boat as my pulpit? Go out a little bit from the land. And let me preach from your boat." And Peter agrees to this. Right? And so it says that the Lord taught the people from the boat of Simon Peter. All right. Now, two things in particular we need to pay attention to in this text so far. And that is the earnest desire of the people to hear the teaching of the Word of Jesus Christ. They press upon him in their enthusiasm for the words of life. Why is this? Because everything that they regularly heard from the religion of their day made them feel either hypocritical about their own life and performance, or it made them despair that they would ever find mercy from a holy and just God. Because you see, the law always condemns. Oh yeah, it gives us wonderful things to do. And when you consider the fact that the law as a teaching tells us many wonderful things and discourages lots of bad things, the law is holy, it's just and good. The problem is not the law, the problem is us. We are sinful and weak, and even at our best, we do not fulfill the law. We stand always before a holy God who says, "He that doeth these things shall live in them." And we know we haven't done these things. And yet the religion of the day was do, do, do. Don't do, don't do, don't do. And people were either hiding their sins in hypocrisy, or they were in despair because of their recognition of their inability to meet the demands of the law. Then along comes Jesus with a new message, which he calls good news. And what is that good news? It is the answer to the dilemma of the law. It is the promise of redemption and the forgiveness of sins, the promise of the mercy and grace of God, not to those who earn it, but especially to those who never did earn it and know they haven't earned it. The free gift of grace, because God has come to us in Christ and done for us all what we could never do for ourselves. And so people hearing this good news couldn't get enough of it. They couldn't get enough of hearing that God was in fact gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That he had sent his only begotten Son into the world to be a Savior and a Redeemer of sinners. And that as long as there is life, there is hope. Because God is good and God is merciful and God keeps his word. How can we sum up this first? The other thing, listen. The other thing is this. Peter and his buddies, as tired and disappointed as they are, what do? They support and help Jesus in the ministry of the word. And they honor the word of God, not only by listening to it, but lending their support, allowing the Lord Jesus to use their ship. And in so doing, they show us what Martin Luther said in his explanation of the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does this mean? Luther asks. And he said, we should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And so the first part of our text today, as we read it, it is inviting us and urging us, hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it, because it is in the word of the Lord that our weak hearts and minds are strengthened in the grace and mercy of God. Our sins and the weakness of our nature constantly cause us to go into a retrograde. But there is one solution to that retrograde, and that is being established and founded firmly in the good news, the gospel, that God has dealt with our sin in Jesus Christ, that we have a gracious God and his ears are open to our prayers. And so therefore, hold God's word sacred. Gladly hear and learn it, because it is in the word that the Holy Ghost is present to strengthen and uplift our souls and keep us unto life everlasting. Okay, now we move on to the second part. And the second part is this. After the sermon is over, Jesus says to Peter, like a real landlubber, he says to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Now remember, Jesus is the son of a carpenter. He was a carpenter himself. And Peter was a fisherman. Peter knew fishing inside and out. And so when he hears Jesus say this, you know how you know how sometimes somebody who knows what they're doing, and they deal with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, they get that patient look on their face, you know, that patient look, you know. So Jesus says this thing: launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Now, the problem that Peter had with this is that in Peter's mind, these words contain two errors. Error number one is that you go fishing in the daytime on the Sea of Galilee when the fish are all down at the bottom sleeping. All right? So that's number one. You don't fish in the daytime. And the second thing that was an error in Peter's mind, all right, was that that you launch out into the deep. All right, every fisherman on the Sea of Galilee knew that when you fish, you want to fish around the edges of the lake. There are no fish out there in the deep that you can make use of. No fish out in the deep. You fish in the shallow part of the Sea of Galilee where all the fish are. So in Peter's mind, Jesus is kind of like, you know, he means well, but, you know, I'm the fisherman here, right? And so when Jesus says this to him, Peter says, Master, we have toiled all the night. We've been fishing all night long. And we have taken nothing. We didn't catch not so much as a sardine. Right? Nothing. And then he says, remembering the words that Jesus has just preached, something causes him to say, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, I'm sure Peter didn't even fully understand his reaction. But react correctly, he did. He fought off his human wisdom and his human teaching and his human reason that got in the way of him hearing this invitation of Jesus. He somehow managed to overcome that and to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He takes Jesus at his word and he lets down the net. So what does this say to us? Well, there is a passage in the book of Proverbs that sums this up very well. This is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now listen to that first part again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, what we see happening in Peter here, his own understanding was preventing him from hearing Jesus rightly. But miraculously and wonderfully, Peter fought off his own understanding, and at the word of Jesus, he trusted and he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Trust in the Lord, even when the Lord seems to be telling you to do something that's not exactly the way you would do it, or the way you would think, or the way you would reason. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I will let down the net. Okay. Part 3 of our text. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. All right. So we see that when Jesus is taken at his word, what happens is so many fish get pulled into Peter's net that the nets begin to tear apart, and he calls to John and James, "Get over here, bring your boat, we need help." And the other guys get in their boat, they get out there into the deep water, and they let down their nets, and they're helping, and they're filling, and it never seems to end. Fish upon fish upon fish upon fish, until both of the boats are full of fish, and they're so heavily laden that they begin to sink. What's going on here? What's going on here? Well, we have a passage in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus is talking about worrying and about trusting in the Lord. And he says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus here is showing that as we live in faith and hear the word of God and rejoice in the grace of God and rejoice in the free gifts of God, and as we receive the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life, that's not all. We also have the promise that also our temporal needs will be met. Our little congregation here is a testimony to that. All right? We have, by God's grace alone, not by our own wisdom, but by God's grace alone, we have steadfastly avoided all of the fads and the tricks of the trade that have come along since the benighted days of the 1960s and 70s. All of the new ideas and the new fads and the new hymnals and the new everything. People said of congregations like ours, "You guys are not long for this world. You're not hip. You're not with it. You are not up there and into all the latest tricks of the trade. You know, you guys are dinosaurs, still using that old hymnal that's so outmoded, still worshiping that same old traditional Lutheran way, still using that old-fashioned organ when you could be using drums, guitars, and electronic keyboards and hopping it up and keeping it current. You keep teaching that old Lutheran faith, the same Lutheran faith that has been taught since the days of the Reformation. You haven't got with it. You haven't got with the new therapeutic culture. You haven't got with the new way of thinking about morality, the new relativism. You haven't got with the program, and you're gonna go out of business." And here we are, 2016, and by God's grace, we're still here. Not because we are clever, not because we are more faithful than anybody else, but because Jesus keeps his word and he provides for us. And he keeps us afloat. Sometimes we get pretty low there to the water. And then other times we prosper. I gauge how we're doing by the look on Tony Oliveri's face. You know, if he looks relaxed, I look relaxed, you know. He gets that little nervous, twitchy look on his face. I start going, so how's it going, Tony? You know. Anyway, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Peter never expected a catch like that, not in the daytime and not out in the deep. It's like every fish in the Sea of Galilee leaped into his boat. You see, what Jesus is teaching us there is trust in the Lord and do what's right, and God will help you and meet your needs. My God, St. Paul said, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. All right, now, the last point. Verses 8 and 9, when Peter saw this great multitude of fish, it made him respond in a way that's kind of odd to us. He looked at these two boats full of fish, and he turned to Jesus and he fell on his knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man." You see, he was suddenly confronted by the double barrel of the presence of God in Jesus Christ. Number one, the wisdom and beauty of Jesus' words and teaching. And then number two, the gracious power of Jesus showing that this is no mere rabbi. This is no mere teacher. This is the Messiah long promised. This is the Savior of the world. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter felt his own unworthiness under the law. He was convicted by the holiness and the graciousness of Jesus. He saw himself as he really was, and he confessed, "I don't deserve to have you in my presence, Jesus. Go away. I'm too sinful for you. I'm too sinful to be hanging around with someone like you. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He recognized his sin. So, what does Jesus do? Jesus acts wonderfully here. He doesn't come over to Peter and put his arm around his neck and go, "There, there, there, it'll be okay." He kind of, with a big smile on his face, he says to Peter, "Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. From now on, you're going to catch men." So he responds to Peter's sense of unworthiness by not only saying, "Stop being afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. I'm here in grace and salvation and mercy." But he calls him into the ministry. You know, I mean, how's that for putting somebody's mind at ease? Well, it's like putting your mind at ease while at the same time throwing you into a new turmoil, right? Don't worry about it. You're going to be a pastor. Huh? Gee, thanks. So Peter says here, so Jesus says, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." He calls him into the ministry. Now, what is this saying to us? St. Paul sums it up. He says this. Listen, this is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. And he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me For he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering as a pattern to them that should hereafter believe unto life everlasting. The mercy that God showed me, Paul says, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor of the church. I was a harmful person to be around. And yet, I obtained mercy. Why? Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I'm the worst of all of them. But I obtained mercy. And the mercy that I obtained is a pattern for sinners everywhere that there is forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, just as St. Paul celebrated the salvation of sinners in Christ Jesus, being so bold as to call the fact that God was merciful to him a pattern that everyone else should recognize, he celebrates God's gracious forgiveness of sinners. And that leads us back to our story. Peter rightly recognizes his sin. He rightly senses his own unworthiness. This is the real work of the law, that we see our sins as God sees them, and we are troubled in our hearts by it. But Jesus has not come to beat us down with the law. Jesus has come to give us mercy, grace, and salvation. And so he says to Peter, stop being afraid. From henceforth, you shall catch men. That's an absolution. Just like you received today at the beginning of the service, that your sins are forgiven, that God is gracious towards you, and that you are among those who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.